Welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to light the fire that is media buying for destinations.
Burning.
I can't remember.
I can feel the heat.
You can feel the heat. Well, interesting, because we're not in the same location today. But I can't remember if we've used that before. I decided to roll with it today.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. I'm Sasha.
And I'm Josh.
And we are the hosts. Josh, how was your...
Are we?
I mean, it better be us, because we're here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I suppose. Sorry, you were asking a question.
I was going to ask how your weekend was, but based on your response so far, I'm scared to hear, like, what might come from you today already.
Oh, man. So you should be scared. My whole weekend was like trying to figure out how to travel internationally in this age of COVID. So I guess it's kind of relevant to our podcast.
Yes, very. So do tell, what was the most challenging component of planning a trip?
Well, it's
right
just
now?
It's just all the, you know, the testing and stuff you've got to go through. So like in this Omicron era, that's what I'm going to call it. We're in the Omicron era of COVID.
And era seems so long though. Can we not say era?
It feels like an era though. Anyway, Emily and I are wanting to go to Mexico, and we've got resort booked and everything, and we're just trying to figure out like all the rules between like when you have to get tested to travel to Mexico and when you have to get tested before you travel back, and then if you end up testing positive while you're down there, like how does quarantine work? And it's obnoxious, but I'm glad everybody's being like kind of careful about things.
Yeah,
it still makes traveling a bit of a headache.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys are going to resort in Mexico, just like all inclusive, going to relax, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, we're actually going for a music festival.
Nice.
And and it's at a all-inclusive resort. So awesome. if we make it down there, and if things don't get canceled, because some things are getting canceled, you know.
Sure. Yeah, a music festival is ambitious.
Yeah. But there you go. That was my weekend.
Cool.
Do you have any good stories?
No, nothing similar to that, but it was a nice, relaxing weekend.
Good. So you've put a lot of thought into this episode, and we're going to just crush
totally.
It.
You bet. Like every time. Let's get into what we're talking about today. So today we want to give you guys a sneak peek behind the curtain, so to speak, about commission structures in media buying. So as you guys know, we work at a marketing firm, and lots of other marketing firms and agencies, they have a commission structure that they, charge to handle your media buying, and same with any third party that you're going to work with. And we thought, if I was a destination, this is something that I would be interested to learn more about and see, you know, how do third parties approach that commission structure and fee when it comes to helping with your media buying, so that you can kind of make the best decision for you.
So, side note for all you listeners out there, this is why Sasha and I fight. We both want the money. Yeah.
I mean, I just enjoy my job. Maybe you want the money. No, just
kidding. I'm greedy.
Just kidding. I want the money too. we try to steal more of each other's budgets, right? And with that comes commission fees.
Yes.
Yeah, but why would we even talk about this, Josh?
Well, you know, I think it's important for DMOs out there who are working with third parties and agencies to know, you know, like what that money is used for, what they can expect, and what they should kind of watch for and make sure they're getting the best bang for their buck. I mean, it's your money. You want to know what people are doing with it.
Yeah, you bet. And information is power. So the more informed you are, the better decisions you can make. So let's get into it. How does commission structure work? Pretty much anyone who is handling your media buying is taking a slice of the cake. Like, no one does it for free, right? So anyone is going to be imposing some kind of commission. And what types of commission structures are you familiar with, Josh? Like, there are two main ones I can think of.
Well, I guess when I think about commission, I'm usually thinking about a percentage of an ad buy budget goes to the actual media buyer. But then I know you can also have like fee type structures too.
Sure.
Is that kind of where your head was going?
Yeah, I think so. Because some third parties do just impose a flat fee as their commission. Like, their commission is what, you know, they're getting paid. And it's not necessarily a percentage, it's just a flat fee. But there are some standard percentage structures we can talk about for digital media and traditional media today. So for traditional media, some traditional media vendors actually have been operating under an agency commission structure for a long time. So it was standardized a long time ago, a set media commission at 15%. And they actually bill the client, like, they would reduce that 15% for an agency, right? So to someone else, a client going direct, like, their fee is a set fee. But if they bill a marketing or agency firm, that 15% just automatically is billed out, like taken out when before it's billed. So this is mainly the case with, a lot of people just don't know that, and it like blows some people's minds. But this is the case with like linear TV, so traditional TV formats, and also AM FM radio. So some of those older formats, say older, but they are, they've been
they are old.
I know.
Yeah, you work with old things.
For you. I was waiting for you to jump on it, and then I gave you that opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for just calling it out for me.
Yeah, I got your back. But some TV streaming, like some cable streaming, you know, the cable companies, they'll still cut you that 15% with streaming. And again, it's just something that they do to partner with agencies and like partner with firms that do mainly media buying. And so they will just automatically bill that out. And it's assumptive, it's pretty much across the board. So it's industry standard, which is really cool. So there's really no downside, I guess, to the client working with a third partner on like linear TV and AM FM radio, because that fee, the direct publication or vendor will cut out. So that's kind of cool. Some like national print partners will do that too.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, because sometimes I just don't understand you.
All the time, Josh.
If I'm understanding this case specifically, you're saying that like, if I were to go buy, like, I'm the client, I'm the DMO. If I go place a buy with a local cable provider, they're likely going to charge me a 15% commission on that buy. But then if I buy through my agency, the cable provider wouldn't necessarily charge the 15%, but that 15% would then go to the agency.
So, I wouldn't explain it that way, but your math is technically correct. But the TV and radio companies don't add 15%. Like, they have set rates. And so their rates are what they are. But when they bill an agency or marketing firm that does media buying, they will cut you a 15% discount.
Got it.
So it's not that they're marking anything up. It's not that they're trying to nickel and dime direct partners. I mean, they love direct partnerships. It's just that this was developed a long time ago for agencies and marketing firms that worked a lot with these type of vendors, and it's just become industry standard. So they just cut that discount. I probably didn't explain that very well the first time, but they cut a discount, so to speak, for agencies without me ever asking. It's literally industry standard. Like, it's just what I will be billed, right?
Interesting. Yep. Okay, you taught me something today. Learned something.
It's very cool. It's very, very cool. And it doesn't mean that we don't like negotiate and try to get, you know, their top rate down as well. I just know that whatever rate we're talking about, when they bill it to me, they're going to still cut me that 15% discount for, you know, just the partnership of working with a media buying partner. Mm-hmm. So it just, that's pretty cool. And that's something that I don't know exactly how it originated, but it's just been around for years.
Interesting.
Yep. Some other partnerships will do it. Some nationwide print publications, like I mentioned, just touched on briefly, some will do that as well. So it really depends, but the two you can always bank on are kind of like linear TV and AM FM radio that are set up that way. So that's kind of cool. Let's talk about, I know there is a difference between traditional media commission and digital commission because of like the self-serve platform and the nature of what your team, you know, needs to do in order to run some of your digital buys. So do you want to speak to that difference and what it is?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So unlike Sasha and traditional media buyers, my team actually does stuff. Like we actually have to work and,
sure,
and not just like call a billboard company and say, let me get a billboard. We actually have to put in, you know, like
exactly what
hard
I do.
Labor.
I think
I've heard that before coming from your office. Just give me a billboard.
Yeah.
And then that's it. That's all you do. No. What we do in most cases with most digital ad platforms, they're usually self-serviced. There are some that are managed if you're working with very specific DSPs. But for the most part, they're things we have to do ourselves. And so we have to put more time and effort into making sure ads are running, making sure they stay optimized. And so that takes more time. So typically, digital commissions will range, and it varies a lot based on your budget size and based on the company you're working for. But I've seen it typically in the range of 20% to 35% on the high end. And 35 is a little on the rarer side, but it does happen when the budgets are small.
Sure. And on the traditional media side, I mean, that 15% is pretty much where we live for the most part, but I've seen that fluctuate depending on the agency, but 15% is kind of the industry standard on most traditional items. But we do have a few like self-serving platforms where instead of working by self-serving, like it just means, like you said, we're getting in and actually setting up the full campaign, running the entire buy. Like we don't necessarily have a rep at the other, you know, at the publication or vendor who's doing that for us. Most traditional media, you would work with a rep who is setting that up for you. And then you just make sure to work with them to optimize and get your strategy correct. But there are some outlets like we, you know, streaming radio, that are a little bit more cumbersome that might have higher commissions than the 15% as well, just because it is like we're setting that up and running it, and the time just adds up on those for sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the benefits of using a third party for media buying. I think there are some distinct benefits, and our goal here is to just, again, give you the information and let you decide what might be the best fit. But I think using a third party for media buying means they do media buying all day, day in and day out. So they have some expertise in that area. They've been trained, you know, to handle media buys. They know how to work with vendors and negotiate. So I think negotiating is something that can be tricky for a lot of clients, especially if they have personal relationships that maybe they're like, you know, not wanting to ask for a better rate or work that negotiation angle. And so some media buying partners, we're used to doing that, right? At least in traditional media, digital media, maybe not so much. It's all online clicks and optimization and all that jazz.
Yeah. But, you know, we're always working to get the better cost per click or cost per conversion. Yeah.
Or not, but.
What? Now you're just accusing me of not doing my job. Wow.
Well, funny how that came full circle from earlier when you accused me of not doing my job. No, I just mean traditional media where we're working with a partner that's like placing that buy. There's a lot of negotiation that goes on between us and them.
Sure.
What are some other benefits, Josh, of using a third party to place your media buys?
Well, you touched on it at the start, but I'll add a little to it, is the expertise piece. Well, it's expertise and bandwidth. So you might have the opportunity to hire someone to run your ads instead of working through a third party. And there might be a level of spend and commissions where that might make financial sense, where it would cost more to pay the agency than it would be to bring someone in-house. But part of what you get in working with a third party is you get more of a team. Like, I know, at least at our agency, most of our clients have at least two or three individuals in-house who touch their ad accounts and are working on them. So if someone's out on vacation, or let's, God forbid, somebody leaves us, we've got backups. And if you're hiring one person to replace a media commission, that can be a little risky if you're not certain that you can hold on to them. But and in this market, that's super scary. But, you know, and there are some cases where you really just might, it might make the most financial sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's funny, on the traditional media side, you have a lot of time that's consumed in research, planning, negotiations, and then even in reporting. And on the digital side, you have some of that up front, but you also just have the never-ending optimization of digital that you mm-hmm. have to constantly be monitoring and watching those accounts. So I like you mentioned, the bandwidth that comes along with both respective types of media is pretty substantial, just depending on, yeah, the time involved and like what type of buy. And so sometimes maybe you don't have time to vet the best option and then go through negotiations or set up your, you know, ad buy online and do all the optimization throughout the campaign. So a third party should be well versed in all of the above items we just talked about and be able to, like you said, have the manpower to really see it through correctly.
For sure. So I would recommend, I know we're going to get to some recommendations in a minute, but I would recommend mm-hmm. that if you're working with a digital agency, don't ask them to buy your billboards because they won't know what they're doing.
Yeah, except I've heard you say you can buy online billboards, which are what, Josh?
Display ads.
Yeah, I know. See, yeah. I remembered that. Are you proud of me? And- Way too long of a pause, Josh.
Just being honest here, Sasha.
I'm going to go home and cry.
You are home.
Okay, I'm already home and I don't cry. So, okay, one last benefit of using a third party, and specifically if you're working with a media buyer that handles traditional media buys for you, they're able to handle the hard conversation with vendors, meaning if you are like most of my clients who get hit up all day, every day by different media vendors that want a slice of your budget, you can just pass those media vendors to your media buyer and say, hey, let me introduce you to our media buyer. They handle our media placements. Please work with them. And then the media buyer can pick up the conversation and let them know we're not interested or vet them further, you know, see if they're a good fit for you. Or they can tell them no if you don't want to have to tell people no all day, every day. So that's something that as a media buyer, like I have no problem doing if, you know, we're in an agency of record with a client and I do not mind them swinging vendors my way. It helps me keep everything streamlined for them. And it lets them not have to have the hard conversation. And instead, I can have that conversation with the vendor and let them know, like, we're not interested at the time or whatever it is, right? So that's kind of nice. And I think a lot of people have enjoyed that. Just clients that we work with are like, hey, I keep getting hit up, or can you talk to this guy? Or they just send me, you know, the forwards or whatever it is. So that's nice. I like being able to take that off somebody's plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is your favorite thing to do, right?
To tell people no? Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You sure say that to me enough, so.
Yep. Well, it's because it's you, Josh. Okay. The last little bit, and this will probably be just a shorter episode for you guys, but this is kind of our last part that we'll wrap up with, but does a third-party media buying partner make sense for your destination? What are your thoughts on that, Josh? How could somebody determine if that is something that they should pursue?
I mean, I think it all comes down to bandwidth and budget. If you are a control freak and you want to make sure that you know every little thing that's happening, it might make sense for either you to do it yourself or hire someone directly under you to do it. But if the money doesn't make sense and it would cost more to hire someone, or you just don't have the bandwidth or even the interest in doing it, that's when it makes sense to bring someone in.
I would add as well, expertise level. If it's not something you're familiar with. You know, if you're not familiar with that route of media buying, it might make sense to just at least explore someone with more expertise there, unless you have a background, you know, in digital ad buying or traditional ad buying. That would make sense to explore and see if budget aligns and bandwidth aligns.
I guess that makes sense. You want someone doing it who actually knows what they're doing.
Yeah, because I mean,
we do have some expertise. Like we do go through training and stuff, right? Yeah,
right.
I mean, I do. I don't know about Sasha, but what is there, like a billboard buying 101 course or something?
I mean, sure.
I don't know why I'm railing on billboards today, but yeah, it's fun.
Outdoor is like usually your favorite traditional media tactic, and now you're throwing it under the bus.
It's actually above the bus. Never mind. Bad joke.
Let's talk about tips for working with a third party. If you decide a third party is right for you, I would say just be transparent in your needs. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask what their commission structure is. That shouldn't be a scary question, and it shouldn't be a question that's dodged. So if you are working with a third party, like Josh said earlier, it's your money. Like, ask the questions you need to ask to feel comfortable moving forward, and provide them with open feedback. Like, have open communication that kind of fosters that partnership. Give your insights, you know, give your opinion, and let them hear your feedback and give them a chance to adjust as needed. What else would you say, Josh, makes a really good partnership if you are working with a third party?
I think what you said makes a lot of sense for some reason.
It does. This is recorded, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense. I think you should know what you're being charged. Don't let anybody try to hide that from you. And honestly, that will also dictate how much time they'll be able to dedicate to your account. So I wouldn't necessarily be scared by mid-level or high-level commission percentages, because it likely means they'll put more time into your account based on what the actual dollars are. But then I would also just make sure it's not. I have seen some horror situations where clients are getting charged outrageous amounts of money. We onboarded a client in the tourism space a little over a year ago that was paying someone to do their PPC for them, and their management fee was $1,000 a month, and the ads were $500 a month.
Ooh.
So they were charging like a 200% commission, essentially.
Wow.
And you should never have that kind of ratio. Never.
Yeah.
So if you see that, just say no and walk away.
Yeah, that's actually really insane. I've never heard of one that high.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And we've been able to do some really cool work for them since, so it's good. Worked out for everybody. But
well, and I think you'll get a good gauge on, it's hard because some people might not have the background in each digital channel to understand the results, but definitely educate yourself enough to make sure that you are seeing continual results with your partner, and that they're walking you through what didn't work, what did work, what changes they made, you know, to enhance the performance, what the metrics are. If you don't know, ask, so that you can understand what is happening with your accounts, right? As they present their reporting, like, make sure you're understanding and grasping that and following along to the results, the optimization, what's happening. And same on the traditional media side, like, there still should be some optimization, you know, with your tactics, or at least your strategy and your planning. And then you should still get reporting on, like, impressions and frequency and how the buys are going, right? So I think that's a good indicator of if it is a successful partnership.
Yeah. Preach it.
Preach it.
Preach it.
Do it. Yep. So if some of the things we talked about today resonate, like, maybe look into some third parties and see if that might be a good solution for your destination.
Yeah. And, you know, everything's changing right now. Honestly, this is a good time to reevaluate your partnerships and make sure that you're working with the right people.
Totally. Pretty critical. Thanks for joining us today. And how can people reach us, Josh?
So we are on the socials particularly LinkedIn and Instagram and TikTok, which one of these days we'll start posting there again. Maybe today. Maybe I'll get something posted today.
Why don't you do some TikToks from Mexico, which people will see maybe after this hits, but you can still go and check it out.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great week.
Bye. You too.